This is ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie sports leader, and this is the Laker Hockey Show. For the next hour, Laker head coach Damon Whitten joins the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, for the weekly coaches show. Got questions for Coach Whitten? Tweet them to me at cornerpocket422. Now, here's Bill and Damon on ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is Bill Crawford, Matt Pockets here in studio. Damon Witten's not with us here in studio tonight. Damon, let's get right into things from the weekend. A lot of fans very excited about the Lakers' start this season. You're 6-1-3 right now, and you get a sweep at Northern Michigan. That's the first time we've won two games at the Berry Event Center since 2011, I believe it was, when we won 4-1 and 2-0. And you come up with a 4-1 and 3-2 overtime win, and quite a comeback on Saturday night, but a big deal to get a sweep at Northern Michigan.
Yeah, it's not an easy building to play in. You know, it's obviously a great rivalry, first and foremost, between the UP towns and institutions. And so it's a tough series to go in there and, you know, adjust to the Olympic sheet they play on and that they're typically built for. So it's a big challenge. And, you know, obviously they're not off to the start they want, but they still pose a lot of different problems and challenges when you match up against them. And I think, you know, Friday night was about as good as a game and start as you can get. You know, we scored early on in the power play, and within 5 minutes, two power play goals, and you're up big. And, you know, they had to chase and push and never really close the gap. They made it 3-1 at one point, and then we tacked on that fourth goal. So it was a very complete game, a game that I felt like we really controlled for most of it. They had, you know, that 5-minute major that they got a power play goal on near the end of that and gave them a little bit of life and energy. But up until that, I thought we'd really controlled the game and did a really good job and some real good efforts. Obviously, Pete Biette, Louis Bedard, some big goals, and you know, got great goaltending from Merrick Mittens once again. And then Saturday was a lot different feel. You know, they got the lead, you know, and they controlled lots of it. You know, I thought we had some individuals that really didn't have strong games, you know, and struggled, and we were really juggling lines and juggling personnel, trying to find some guys who are going to play the right way and you know, do a better job. So it was a little bit, and then special teams as well. There's a ton of special teams in both games. So, you know, it was funny, post game Friday, I looked at our minutes played, and I think Miro Muka was just under 10 minutes. And, you know, he's way too good of a hockey player to only play 10 minutes, but because of so many penalty kills and, you know, power play, we're kind of juggling him on one unit. So, some guys did not play a lot, and the same thing happened Saturday, but we got it together in time and to have a good finish. You know, obviously that short end of goal off the faceoff, Lucas Kybel set up, Pete Viet bangs it home. And then Pete follows it up with a nice goal as well off a great pass off the pads for a rebound goal. And then obviously we went right out and scored a power play goal 4-on-3. And I thought tremendous execution for Mitch Oliver and Lucas Kybel up top, and a real good finish by Ashton Calder and Louis Bedard down low. So a big comeback and, you know, a real big weekend of hockey. Like I said, we haven't had a ton of success in that building, maybe even, you know, for a single victory, but to go in and sweep was a great weekend for us.
Oh, it was tremendous, and I think the fans are excited about this weekend coming up with Minnesota State coming to town. We'll hold off talking about the Mavericks for a few minutes here. We'll stay with the Northern Michigan series for a few more minutes. I think the big key on Friday night, you mentioned it already, two power play goals. You had one that you scored right after a penalty to Northern Michigan had elapsed, so really three power play goals in that game. You scored another one to win the game on Saturday night, so that power play that's really been struggling comes to life on the weekend. That's great news. The penalty kill continues to be really good. Pete Viollette, forward of the week in the WCHA, and Merrick Mittens, goaltender of the week. We get two of the major awards for individuals on the weekend because of their performances. I thought it was really good, and I agree with you. I think Friday night's game, I watched it and listened to Matt, and it was really a good effort by Lake Superior.
Yeah, and nice to get those guys rewarded. You know, Pete Viet played outstanding, and even going back the previous weekend, you know, maybe a touch of a slow start where, you know, asking Pete to play a little bit harder and get to the net a little bit more. And, man, as he's done it the last couple of weekends, played really, really well for us. Obviously, had a, you know, coming off a very strong year last year, so it's great to get him going. And Merrick Mittens has been, you know, so consistent, so solid. You know, we think we've got some very capable guys behind him, and they've gotten a little bit of time. We'd have liked to get them in a little bit more. We lost series with Paris and Northern Michigan before the break, and both Seth and Ethan Langenager was slated to get some starts there, and now Mitz is playing so well, it's hard to really get him out of there and get some guys some minutes. So real good job by those two individuals, and power play. Yeah, we had talked, I think, Bill, both on Tuesday and then pre-games, that we'd shown some real good signs in practice, and we've talked a lot about we've practiced it more last week and the last 2 weeks probably than I ever have anywhere I've been. So we put a lot of time into it, and the guys responded, But even before that, we'd shown some signs of life. We'd scored a lot in practice. I think we had two power play goals just as time expired, so they didn't go down as official power play goals. But, we're starting to show some good things there and some poise, developing some chemistry. Obviously, that becomes huge this weekend against the Minnesota State team that's so good on the power penalty kill as well, but also 5-on-5. So, getting any offense off the power play this weekend would have a huge impact on the games.
Damon, impressive how you guys really came out and hammered them right from the word go. That first-minute penalty, first-minute power play goal in game one of that series, I thought really set the tone. I thought you used spacing really well. The defensemen in particular, we talked about this. They held position well. They neutralized the speed of that forward group. Something you mentioned last week, all these internationals on this team, they're very familiar with these big rinks anyway, so it probably shouldn't be much of a surprise that you guys had that comfort level up and down the lineup.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, some of them haven't played on it many years, though, or maybe just once or twice a year. So, it's an adjustment. Obviously, if you grow up in Europe and you play your whole life on it, you're very comfortable, and you've got that poise and that awareness to use that space well. So I thought our European guys, did a good job that way. It was a little bit, frustrating, I guess, is a decent word for it. We would have loved to get to Big Bear last week, and I thought Tuesday, Wednesday would have been, easy way to get over there and get some practice time in at Big Bear on the Olympic sheet, but we weren't able to due to COVID, unfortunately. So, we had to show up there, and we had Thursday evening practice, and then Friday morning, a quick pregame skate. But Matt, I thought you nailed it. Our guys did a good job adjusting. We used our speed. We communicated well defensively. And then I thought Friday was, a very complete hockey game for us. Very reminiscent of that opening weekend against Michigan Tech, which has been, some of our most complete hockey in the season.
Yeah, we should talk for just a second, Damon, about the size of that facility, too. It's one of two, I think, such facilities we have in the WCHA. I think Alaska is the other one. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But what is the size difference? It's wider. It's a little bit longer than, say, the ice surface at Able Arena or the other arenas in the league.
Yeah, you essentially have about 15 extra feet of width. And, and it just, for a goalie, it can be challenging. If you're a goalie that, gets out of your net a little bit more and plays the angles more than reactionary, it can change a lot of the way you read plays and set up for plays. But yeah, and just simple spacing, typically, if you're at the offensive blue line as a defenseman, there's a lot more ice. It's a lot more dangerous up through the middle of the ice. So you really have to be aware. We tried to do a rep a little bit on our sheet and replicate that, how we really wanted to control the middle of the ice and force anything from Northern Michigan to the outside. I thought we did a really good job Friday night. I thought Saturday night, they had us pinned in. So we had to change lines, and they did a much better job coming at us with speed and attacking us on the rush. And that posed challenges to us. But that's it. The spacing is just really challenging, even in the D zone, where you report to, your stick placement, it all changes a little bit because there's extra space to use. And, when you practice on that on a daily basis, it's a pretty big advantage.
Yeah. It kind of took the Lakers, two plus periods to really get going on Saturday night. I watched a lot of that game. I got frustrated in the second period and went and watched something else for a while, but, I came back, and, right after I came back, you scored to make it 2-1, and then Pete tied the game, and then the Lakers just took over. So I guess the question here would be, what did Northern Michigan do differently earlier in the game on Saturday than they did on Friday that gave you so much trouble? Was it a forecheck change?
I was with you. I stayed in the second period and didn't watch either. No, I was on the bench. I don't want people thinking I wasn't on the bench. But, part of that second period, Bill, and even part of the first, there's 8 penalties. One of them was a 5-minute major to them, which, gave us some life and got us back into it. But, you're talking, well over half the period on special teams. And so a lot of your guys, If you don't power play, if you don't penalty kill, you're sitting there and you can't get in the game. You can't get in the rhythm and rotation. And so that's challenging. And that was not good enough. But, we knew we Saturday morning after our, we don't skate typically on Saturdays, and we didn't, it's 10 a.m. ice, and we want to be rested and recovered, but we go to the rink and then we reveal film and we get a warm up in, and guys kind of prep sticks and things like that. And, as we were kind of packing up and leaving, Northern Michigan took the ice, the whole team, and it was not a typical pregame skate. It was all competition. They were getting down. So we knew they would come out, very fired up, very on edge. And I thought that happened. They had great intensity. Their battles and 50-50 pucks, they did a better job on and won more than we did early on. Our opening shift, we turned the puck over and gave up a chance. And I think the next shift as well, we struggled in the next shift. So, give them credit. They came out harder than us and wanted to impose their will on the game. They were able to do that. And I think because of that, it took us a while to get going. And I mentioned we'd have to defend for 30, 40 seconds. By the time we got out of the zone, we'd dump it in, get a line change, and they're coming right back down our throats with us. So, a lot of that was due to the way they played. And I thought, as I said already, a couple of guys were not prepared to play. And, we saw that. We benched a couple of guys. They didn't play much. And it was disappointing that they weren't ready to play. But it was good. We found our way to get going and get that win. But definitely, you can't have passengers. We talked about last couple of weeks. Everybody has to be ready to play. You have to realize how few opportunities you get, to play this game, especially in a year like this. And, really disappointing that a couple of guys, didn't seem prepared to play. And so we've got, as coaches, figure that out. And, maybe we adjust what we're doing. Maybe we change lines going into Saturday or change personnel a little bit more. But I think those were really the main culprits of it. A little bit self-inflicted, but a lot of the credit goes to Northern Michigan for the way they came out.
I will say a lot of desperation in that program. Hearing Grant Pitolny's post-game quotes, not just this weekend, but last weekend too, just really trying to find an answer. One guy to highlight for Lake Superior State in particular, and strange that we haven't talked about him maybe even more, but a 1.57 goals against average is 7th in the country. A .941 save percentage is 8th in the country. Merrick Mittens is one of college hockey's best goaltenders, and there shouldn't be any debate or argument or anything otherwise to it. He is one of the top goalies in the country.
No question. Very capable. And his maturity is really showing this year as well. He's ahead of the play. He's playing very calm game. I think his ability to play the puck has just really improved year to year.
Definitely.
And he's very comfortable getting out and stopping pucks and creating our breakout. Maybe a little bit too much right now. He's got some good deception to him and baiting guys in. But he's played really well. Obviously, you need goaltending to, be an elite team and be a top team. And, we're doing some good things that way. And Merrick is a big, big part of it. So we've been really happy with the way he's played. And, we'll need him certainly this weekend and moving forward.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about Pete Violette's weekend already. He was named forward of the week. We'll mention that a couple of times more because people tune in and tune out on this show. But I thought he was really good, and I thought he played hard. And he's changed his game a little bit in the right direction since you took him off that line with Bedone and Calder and played him with some other players a little bit, but I thought he was really good, and he was really good on the penalty kill as well.
Yeah, and I like, the word you use, Bill, hard, and I think we had not just Pete, but a handful of guys, early on, and maybe it was with that opening weekend success against Michigan Tech, but, we weren't playing hard enough. Guys wanted to make skill plays up and down and, create on the rush and things like that, and that's great. We want our guys to do that when the timing is right and when the numbers are right. But when they're not right, you have to play hard. You have to manage pucks. You have to get on the forecheck and you have to go to the net. And so I think Pete's done a really good job of, maybe correcting that a little bit and getting back to basics a little bit more. So really good weekend for him, really in all facets. It was a great on the penalty kill, had a short end of goal, a couple power play goals, and an outstanding weekend for Pete. Really, really stepped up. Hampus has been so good for us, and I think our most consistent forward, and now Pete's, right there with them doing that. Ash and Calder, offensively been really good as well. So we've got some guys playing at a high level, and we need a couple more guys to kind of, finish that transformation of playing the right way.
Yeah, you look at the Lakers right now. We're going to take a break in just a second here on our first break of the night, but Ashton Calder has 5 goals and 11 points right now through 10 games. That's darn good for anybody at any level of hockey, but at Division I college hockey, that's outstanding. He's been one of our best players all year. Pete Violette's coming alive now. He's a plus five. He's got 5 points. Three of those are goals. He was a plus three on the weekend. And we're going to talk about some of the other players here when we come back. We're going to take a break, though. It's our first of the night Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford and Matt Pocket, along with Laker head coach Damon Whitten. We'll be right back on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
When you shop locally, you're helping the local economy. It's the same when you're a member of the credit union. We reinvest your money right here in town, so your investment becomes your neighbor's loan. You could say that around here, we know the neighborhood.
Sioux Co-op Credit Union, your credit union, federally insured by NCUA. Visit us online at siouxcoop.com.
While our dining room is closed, the Wicked Sister is still open for delivery and carryout. You can still order any of our crave-worthy burgers and construction dip, but now you can also order any of our beer, wine, and signature cocktails to go. Call 906-259-1086 or visit our website, wickedsistersue.com, to order. The Wicked's phone number again, 906-259-1086.
Is your furnace old? You could be dealing with a low-efficiency furnace costing you hundreds of dollars a year. The experts at Albert Heating and Cooling can help you with a new high-efficiency Bryant furnace. On sale now till the end of February. With your new furnace, you can buy an extended 10-year labor warranty for only $99. Start saving today with a new furnace and sleep soundly knowing you have no worries. Go online at albertheating.com or stop in at 3147 South M129, just south of 3 Mile Road today. Bryant. Whatever it takes. It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Whitten.
Well, we are back for the second segment of our show tonight. Bill Crawford, Matt Pocket in studio, Damon Whitten in his office at Able Arena. And we were talking about players when we broke, and I mentioned that Ashton Calder has 11 points right now. I think I said Pete Violette had five. He had five on the weekend. He's got 4 goals and 8 points on the season. And Lucas Kybel's right there. He's got 8 assists for 8 points. He's second on the Lakers in scoring. And Will Rydell, senior defenseman, 2 goals, 5 assists for 7 points. Yuki Miura, a goal and 5 assists for 6 points. We got a lot of guys, Damon, who are playing pretty well right now. I was really impressed with Louis Bonhomme this past weekend, too. He scored a goal in each game, including the game winner in overtime. But he's been going up and down very well all season. He just hasn't been getting a lot done on the scoreboard, but he did this past weekend.
Yeah, I can start with Louis. You know, I think he's a little bit mirrored Pete's game. And, you know, they've played together quite a bit, and we shifted that a little bit at times this weekend. But I think Louis, the same thing. You know, he's coming off a freshman year. He was a member of the all-freshman team. And, you know, I think the natural tendency is to think you're going to step back on the ice and kind of pick up where you left off, and you can maybe creep a little bit from the habits that made you so successful. So he has not struggled to start the year. But, you know, I think he can continue to improve upon playing the right way, which he showed this weekend, and now he's starting to get rewarded. So he's a very, very important player to our team, you know, highly skilled and highly competitive. But I think early on he was trying to be a little bit too skilled, and now he's getting back to some better habits and playing the right way and getting rewarded for it. So he's been very good. You know, I think, you know, the three guys in between Ash and Pete and Louis, as you mentioned, Lucas Kybel, Will Rydell, Yuki Miura, all kind of quietly having really strong seasons. You know, Lucas Kybel has been outstanding defensively. You know, he's our captain. He plays so hard every game and just doing a great job at the defensive end of the ice. And then you look the other way and all of a sudden he's got 8 assists, you know, just under a point per game and in a strong plus minus rating. So, you know, really, really good play out of Lucas Kybel, senior captain. And, you know, they're not D partners, but another senior defenseman and assistant captain, Will Rydell, you know, right behind Lucas with 7 points, and another big, strong player, elite skater. Getting really, really big minutes and quality play from our senior defensemen, really the whole D-core. But those guys are really getting it done at both ends of the ice with those point totals.
How about this? We talked about it right out of the gate tonight, but let's go into it in detail here. The advantage that the visitors have now in college hockey with no fans in the stands, it's a lot easier to go in. It used to be, and I think I heard you say this one of the pregames, or you might have said it to me. I don't remember, but I think it's right on the money. Your goal as a visitor is to take the crowd out of the game and try to score early on the road, and that doesn't happen all that often. Usually the home team will have the advantage there. It's not that way anymore. Now you can go down a couple goals on the road. There's nobody making any noise. And as long as you keep your game plan together and keep working hard, you can come back. We did it Saturday night.
Yeah. And, Bill, you don't necessarily need that first goal, but, just a simple kind of first 5, 8, 10 minutes where, you'll take whistles from your goalie. You don't mind if you ice the puck. In a typical year, you just don't want to let the visiting crowd get into it and really build energy and momentum for your team. And so, yeah, a goal is great because that certainly does it. But just a simple approach, call it road hockey. It's called road hockey for a reason and, well known throughout the hockey world. And it's really important in typical years and, really different this year. Like I will never forget our opening game this year against Michigan Tech. All the preparation, with COVID and all the precautions and, all of a sudden you get to the bench and you don't really prepare or know what it feels like with no crowd. It's just a really strange, eerie feeling. You miss your fans so much and you never know until that moment. So, I think teams are through it a little bit. But like you said, when you need that energy, that momentum, and or maybe you score that goal and you're waiting for the building to blow up and it's not there, it really does change the game. So I'm with you. I mean, the home team obviously still gets the last line change and gets the matchups that they like to have. But it is a much different field in this world right now where the crowd is not at the arena. And, you don't have them to give you that boost and, maybe finish out a game. Maybe that game is different if the fans are there and, we're not able to get back into that game and fight through that crowd as well. So it has a really big impact. And, I don't know. Obviously, we've got the executive order or whatever it is running out on the 15th. And, I think we're all anxious to hear. We'd love to get fans back in our building if we can do that in a safe manner. Sooner the better. And, we're hopeful that happens at some point.
Some buildings have different feels than others, too. I mean, whether there's fans in there or not. You look at Northern Michigan, for example. I mean, the sound, it's just a cavern of sound in there. It really bounces around. It's got space to breathe in a way. And when they hit some of the sound effects in there, it was just very stark how empty that building sounded. Way emptier than some of the other buildings we've been to this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The way it is. I mean, like I said, they get some great crowds, and it's a great hockey town. And but that building has a different feel. Like it's a little, Michigan Tech is so steep and pitched that you feel like they're right on top of you, and the noise carries over to the glass more. And Northern Michigan has a more traditional bowl. So yeah, there's no question. Each arena has kind of their own identity and life, and you kind of get to know those over the years. And now it's all different in this environment.
There were some interesting things that happened on the weekend, too. There were things I was jotting down as I was watching and listening to Matt in the broadcast. But, Ashton Calder's been so good this year. And to me, he is a very powerful skater. He's not a pretty skater all the time, but he's powerful. And when he pulls away from people, he puts distance between him and defensemen who are trying to chase him down. He had two breakaways in that Friday night game. And granted, the second one, I think he was pretty much gassed. I don't think he could barely get to the net. He could hardly get off the ice after the shift. But I'll tell you what, he's a very impressive young man for a junior. He's wearing an A. He's from the Sioux. And he's been really good for us, and that's why he's the leading scorer. And I thought Yuki Miura, once again, I'm amazed at that guy. He's a small guy, and he will throw himself in front of shots. He must have blocked 6, 7 shots on the weekend, including a couple that hit him up high that have to hurt. And he still goes right back in there. He's a great team player.
Yeah, I met Ashton Calder. Those breakaways came, like you said, in the same shift. So that second one, he still got in and got a good shot off, but he did not have he'd been out probably over 45, 50 seconds. So he was really gassed, but still had enough stamina left to get a good shot on. And the first one, he just pulled away from, I think, Newhouse on it. And he showed that all season long, and when we get him playing consistently as he's done most of the year. But, you know, when he uses his skating ability and his power and his speed, he's a very dangerous player. And that's why he's sitting there with 11 points and leading our team. So very consistent, very good start for Ashton Calder so far. And Yuki Miura, you know, like I said, he's a little bit, underappreciated, I think. He's had a good, strong year offensively so far. Our leading, one of our top penalty killers and our best shot blocker on the team. And like you said, just a great, great teammate. You know, he'll do whatever it takes to be successful in a game. And, you know, that's why he's so valuable in all situations, but certainly in the penalty kill as well.
He's one of our top plus minus players, too. He's a plus eight right now, which is really good. Also on Saturday night, you got Jeremy Gervais in. I think it was his birthday, which was kind of a nice little gift to give him. And yet Artie Borshoff, I thought, played pretty darn well on Friday night, a game that the Lakers kind of dominated. But good to see both those guys getting playing time. They're the future. They're good players, and they need to get ice time to be better.
You know, it's hard right now, because we've had a strong start, obviously. And, we've got some experienced guys that are leading the way. Obviously those were non-conference games, and we talked long and hard about a staff, how many or what lineup changes do we make? We would love to get guys like, I think Benny Posta could have really helped us. Tyler Williams, Spencer Dembski going back to his hometown. They would have been nice to get those guys in. But you're also looking at, the guys who have done the job so far, the record we have and the way we're playing. And, I guess staying loyal in some ways to the guys who have gotten it done and have been around the program. And so it's challenging right now. We went 7D both nights. So already got Friday night and Jerv got the second night. Both guys deserve to play and stay in. Artie shouldn't come out based on his play. Jerv should have never come out based on the way he played the first four or five games of the year. And I thought both played really well. Jerv's been out a couple games, did a really good job. He's such a smart hockey player. So the Olympic sheet with that space and time, I thought he showed tremendous poise at the offensive blue line, and he's got bite to him. So they are the future, and they're really good players. There's other guys that are right there with them that, they should be frustrated. And I think they are a little bit frustrated because, we tell them they're practicing well, they're doing the right things. They're just, they're a little bit buried behind some guys with some experience who are playing well. And so it's a good thing in some ways. But we've got to find ways to make sure that we can insert them and get them some time. They've earned it and they deserve it. But just a real credit to the guys in front of them that are playing so well and, not relinquishing their spot in the lineup.
I think a lot of times it depends on who you're playing, too. Like this weekend coming up, we've got probably the best team in our league. They're ranked fifth in the nation coming in here in Minnesota State. And you're likely going to try to throw a lot of veterans out there. You're going to stick with a lineup that won at Northern Michigan, I would think, at least on Friday night. And so it's going to be tougher for some of these guys to, and they can work as hard as they want this week. They're probably going to be up in the stands on Friday night, at least. Another guy you talk about a lot, and I think he has played well. He's been very steady. He doesn't have a lot of points. He's got 2 goals and just 5 points on the season, and he plays all the time. But Hampus Eriksson's been a really good leadership man. He gives us tremendous size in the faceoff circle. And, he could have won that game on Saturday night in regulation. He had a tremendous chance with about, a minute and 20 seconds left. He got in there on the left wing side, and he did the right thing. He tried to pick the top of the net, and it just missed. It went over the net. And, of course, we won it in overtime, so it didn't matter. But it was 2-2 at the time, and I thought I was pulling for him to win the game right there.
Well, you said it, and I've been on it that he's been our most consistent forward. I mean, there's no question about it. He doesn't have the points of maybe Calder, Viet, and things like that. But Hampus has played the right way every single game this year. He's had some great performances in the faceoff circle. He's with Yuki Miura in our first penalty killing group and taking key draws. And, he's on the power play, and he's generating some good looks there as well. Hampus is really playing at a high level, and maybe not the points of a couple guys, but he's been really, really good. And that whole line has with Miroslav Muka and Yuki Miura. It's hard to say those two guys together. But that line has been really, really good for us. And, we love the way they played. I'm not sure we've split them up really at all, maybe real briefly. But I think they've played so well, so consistently, and they're so trustworthy to do the right thing right now that we find that we can play them in any situation. So really happy with the way Hamp has played, he's having a decent year offensively, and there's been more chances there. So with any kind of puck luck or any breaks, you know, he'd probably have two or three more goals and it'd look a little bit different there. But we'll take the way he's playing night in, night out, and be really happy with that.
Yeah, that's another guy who's playing really well for us right now, number 10, Miro Muka. He's a +8 on the season. He's got a couple of big goals, including a game winner, and he didn't see the ice that he probably would have liked on the weekend, but he's been very, very good. We're going to take our second break in the show tonight. Matt Pocket, Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show after this on ESPN 1400.
For the safety and health of the communities we serve and our employees, our Central Savings Bank lobbies are now open by appointment only. CSB's drive-ups are open to serve all of your banking needs. Remember, you can always use mobile banking, internet banking, our 24-7 access line, and ATMs. You can also give us a call at 906-635-6250 to transfer funds. Ask what the CSB family can do for you.
Ask what we can do for you.
For the safety and health of the communities we serve and our employees, our Central Savings Bank lobbies are now open by appointment only. CSB's drive-ups are open to serve all of your banking needs. Remember, you can always use mobile banking, internet banking, our 24-7 access line, and ATMs. You can also give us a call at 906-635-6250 to transfer funds. Ask what the CSB family can do for you.
Ask what we can do for you.
From the CSB family to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Since 1916, a lot of independent agents have recommended auto owners insurance. And a lot of parents have taken that recommendation to heart. So have a lot of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. As we celebrate our first 100 years, Auto Owners Insurance thanks all those who have put their trust in us. And all the generations who will.
Visit Madigan Pingator Insurance Services today on Water Street in Sioux, Michigan, or at madiganpingator.com.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Tweet your questions for Laker head coach Damon Whitten to me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford.
Well, we are back for our third segment of the Laker Hockey Show. Matt Pocket and I are in studio at Sovereign Communications. Damon Whitten's up in his office at Able Arena. Want to make mention of something before we go on a little bit further here. I know Matt and I could talk about this for 20 minutes, but we won't do that. We'll just mention it. We've lost a real great guy and a colleague in Johnny Bell this past week. He passed away on Sunday, and John's really had a tough last couple of years. He was a diabetic and paid a steep price for that, and it took him out at early 60s. And so that's a tough loss. He's a great guy, and we're all going to miss him here at Sovereign. And another guy we mentioned on our broadcast last week when we were at home, Mike Ellis, Mike Chubba Ellis. He worked with me as a color man for one season. He did a lot of work with his brother Tim in high school hockey, and those are two great hockey people right there that we've lost. And boy, I'll tell you, a lot of people, you know, it doesn't have much to do with COVID most of the time, but it probably does with the psychological end of what COVID's done to us here in this country. And that's two tough losses right there. Damon, you've got a great crew coming in here this weekend. Minnesota State, always a good team. They're ranked fifth in the nation right now. They didn't play last weekend because Michigan Tech had COVID issues and couldn't play the series at Minnesota State. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare, I guess, for Lake Superior State. And they'll be flying high. They always are. They've got a great offensive team. And, hey, if they watch the forecheck situation on the weekend, they'll be coming hard right out of the gate on Friday night.
Well, they always do, right? You know, they don't concern themselves too much with who they're playing. It's more about the Mavericks. And, you know, Mike Hastings just done a tremendous job there. And then the investment they put in their hockey program, you know, starting with bringing Mike Hastings in and then just really investing heavily to get to the level they're at. So they've done a really good job. And, you know, they're going to be who they are, a very competitive team. They skate well. You know, they've got skill up and down their lineup. And they throw a lot of problems at you matchup-wise, talent-wise. You know, if you can get through them, then they've got Dryden McKay back there waiting for you, who I don't know nationally where he ranks. It's got to be top three-ish, I would guess, because his numbers are just off the charts. So a lot of weapons. A great power play team, very, very dangerous on the power play. I guess maybe that's the one area where they rely a lot on their power play to score goals for them. So our discipline is going to have to be really good, you know, which is scary coming off a weekend where there was just so many penalties. And, you know, we want to make sure we're trying to play this thing 5-on-5 and try to match up and shut down their top guys. But a lot of weapons throughout that lineup and a very dangerous team. They're ranked number 5 for a reason. I think they actually should be a top 3. You know, but they've been off a little bit. So, you know, we hopefully can use our games played the last couple of weekends to be a touch sharper coming out of the gates and maybe a little bit more game stamina built up, because we've gone the last few weeks there where they've had a little bit of a shutdown coming off the break. So, you know, we'll take any advantage we can get, because you don't get them typically against Minnesota State.
Yeah, Dryden McKay, I mean, they're off a little bit, is still pretty darn good. Right now, 1.01 goals against average, which, goodness. That's second nationally, believe it or not. He's behind Matt Ladd of Canisius, who's only played twice, so take that for what you will. And then Dryden McKay sitting fourth nationally at save percentage with a .953 mark in that category. Again, fourth there. He's a monster. This is going to be a great goalie battle, though.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, you know, we have actually built this team well, being league rivals, and we've seen them in playoffs a couple of years back now, and you know, I've had some great battles with them. I think two, 3 years ago, we were the only team in the country to beat them in their building. I think it was their only home loss of the year. We went in and got that done. And, you know, Merrick's has been a big part of those games. So he'll be excited. And I think our players will be excited. You know, we've seen different talent levels coming in, you know, from Adrian, a D3 team, and some other teams coming in that, you know, we're not picked to finish this high. And now we get a chance to play one of the best teams in the country. So I think our group is excited, you know, and ready and focused effort so far the last day or two and in our lead up to preparation and game time. But our guys are excited for this game and this matchup. It's a big task to knock them off. But, you know, I think we're ready for it. And there's some areas that we can look to take advantage of and utilize against them.
Damon, something that we've talked about quite a bit too, teams are going to get challenged. Teams are going to get tested. And you guys have certainly had some tests in the last couple of weeks. But I think what impresses me the most about this group is how resilient they are. They hang in there, and even in games where things aren't going well, they've shown an ability to bounce back, to problem solve, to figure things out. That's twice now against Bemidji State, last weekend on Sunday?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, down by 2 goals, figuring it out, scoring with the goalie pulled in the third period, and then again against Northern, tying the game up in the third period and then getting the OT winner. So this is a team that even when they're down, you know, they're still battling. They're still thinking. They're trying to find a way to get back in this thing. And that's big, big, big for any hockey team.
It is, and it's attributable to our seniors and our leadership group, Ashton Calder, you know, and not just seniors and captains, but, you know, all those upperclassmen and guys who've been through it. But we've got a group that, you know, does a really good job in leading that locker room and playing with poise, playing with confidence. You know, not panicking and having, you know, good team communication on the bench, in the locker room. You know, so that's really where that stems from. They do a really good job. It's a group that we have a high level of trust with, and they trust themselves and they trust each other. So, we've really stuck together through all this. And, you know, a lot of people ask what we say, that third period of Bemidji last Sunday there, 2 weeks ago Sunday now. And, you know, that was it. Let's do it together. You know, we haven't had our backs against the wall. We haven't trailed a couple goals in any games, let alone the third period. And, you know, we just asked our guys to stick together and stick with who we are and our structure. And they went out and responded and did a great job. And, you know, to do that again last weekend, it does. It builds a little bit of confidence to know you can face that adversity and come through it together. So, you know, we're going to really, you know, turn this team over to that senior group. And they've done a really good job so far. And we'll keep relying on them to do that.
I think that will work against this team, too. They'll have them ready to play. This is a good hockey team, though. Mike Hastings has won 21 games, is the fewest he's won in a season since he took over 8 years ago. He's in his ninth season now there at Minnesota State. And, wow, what a what a winner he's been. I think he's won over 200 games and lost like 84. So that's been tough, and they'll be tough this weekend. They're coming off. Their last series was at Northern Michigan, where they won 5-0 and 4-0. So if you want to make a comparison, it should be pretty close. I mean, there's no way we can't beat them, but we're going to have to play really well. And your favorite word there, passengers, we can't have any of those this coming weekend.
Well, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's Minnesota State or Adrian. I mean, it's hard to win, you know, and you mentioned going into Barrie and doing that. It's been 10 plus years or something like that. It's hard to win hockey games. You see that, you know, Detroit Red Wings, you know, tough year and, you know, maybe down some talent and things like that. But, you know, you have to show up and beat them at that level, at our level. So it's challenging, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. And certainly when you have a team like this that comes in ranked number 5 in the country, that challenge rises up and is even bigger. So, we got to play very well to beat them because of who they are and what they throw at you and the talent they have up and down their roster. But we've done it before, and we feel like we have a chance to do that again this weekend. So we need our big dogs to show up and play, and we're going to need great goaltending. And, you know, as Matt said, I think it's going to be a real fun goalie battle to watch between McKay and Mittens as well.
Yeah, some of the really good games over the last 5-6 seasons have been at Minnesota State, where the Lakers have pulled some upsets. I remember Gordy Dayfield standing on his head one playoff game and shut him out there. And I can remember we gave him a really tough battle when Diego and company were seniors. We probably deserved a better fate than to lose two tough, close games like that. But, you know, they're a tough team. They're really good at home, and they've got a great crowd behind them.
Yeah, like you said, you mentioned Hasty's record over his 8 or 9 years there. You know, they've consistently been a top 3 or top 5 team nationally. They've beaten any opponent. They've had their struggles in the NCAA tournament. You know, that's their next kind of hurdle to get to. I think when they get that first win out of the way, it's really going to springboard them to, national prominence in the NCAA as well. But they've been as good as any program in the country over the last, during Hastings' time, I guess. And that's no different this year. A very talented team, and it's going to be an awesome weekend of hockey here at Taffy Abel.
Yeah, it seems to really bother pollsters to keep a team from the WCHF really high. But Minnesota State's always ranked in the top 10. They're number 5 this week. They fell actually a spot in the poll, even though they didn't play. And Lakers moved up to number 19 again. We had fallen out last week. This week, we replace our old buddy Jeff Jackson. Notre Dame falls out of the top 20 for the first time this season, and the Lakers are back in.
Just some recognition for what the guys have done, I guess. Our guys are aware. In today's world with social media, they don't miss those things. Instagram and Twitter, things like that. You know, we don't spend time on it as a staff or, addressing it with the team, but, it's there and guys are aware of it. And, there's a chance to make a real big statement this weekend. So, you've got to be excited about the opportunity in front of you. And I think we are. I think our guys are up for the challenge. And now it's going out and putting 60 minutes together. We've started games so well. Obviously, there takes a real big spotlight on the starts against a team like this. And hopefully with, a weekend off, that can continue to be, a big bright spot for us to start on time and, maybe push them back a little bit with a good start.
You know, there have been so many penalty-filled games so far this season. I don't know if the officials are just calling things as tight as they possibly can early in the season. Sometimes they do that sort of thing, or if maybe they're just not up to snuff right now. But, boy, with all the penalties we've been having, and not just in our games, every game, I look at totals after every game, special teams has got to be a major, major part of every coach's practice right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think beyond that opening weekend, there wasn't much. I mean, I thought it was great hockey because you got to go out and play. I think there was 3 calls the first night, 4 the second night, something like that. And so you just got to drop the puck and get up and down the ice and play and compete. I thought it was a great weekend of hockey. And then since then, things have definitely, whether it's tightened up or whatever you want to call it, it's been different that way. So your special teams better be ready to play. They're a great team, both on the penalty kill and power play. We've been really mostly consistent on our penalty kill and done a good job that way. Our power play, as we all know, has got off to a really slow start. it's rounding into form here a little bit. So, you know, you don't want to let them on the power play. You know, you have to limit that. You know, we have a goal of less than four per game at most on the penalty kill. And, you know, our discipline is going to have to be outstanding. And then, you know, even with good discipline, you know, they're going to put you in situations that, you know, push your boundaries with their pace, with the aggressive way they play. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities, you know, that we've got to be really wise and smart to and play the right way to keep out of the penalty box.
Well, it'll be interesting. It's Friday night at 7, and then I think it's a 5:07 start on Saturday. A lot of different starting times this season, too, and that's probably good because it gives the visitors a chance to get out of town on time and make the trip because it can be a long trip. I don't know how Mankato handles things, but it's a long drive back to Minnesota.
It's been interesting, Bill. I think last past weekend was our first time with those traditional start times, or close to it at least, and it felt long. You know, we've been playing a lot of Saturday, Sundays at 5 and 3, and it comes so quick at you. Your second day preparation, you don't have a lot of time to bring the team in and then, you know, go over video and make adjustments, and then you want to get them out of there and into their routines. So waiting around for a 7 o'clock start and a 6 o'clock start felt like forever from a coaching perspective. And, you know, really unique that way. And, you know, as we're in locker rooms and our preparation's done, you know, we're on different websites to stream games, whether, you know, flow hockey from our own league or junior hockey from different leagues. But, you know, that's been a really different kind of feel to it. It's kind of fun in some ways that you get to check box scores early on a Friday or a midweek game. You know, I'd much rather get back to some normalcy in our normal starts. But we're close this weekend, just a little bit different on that Saturday time.
All right, 7 o'clock again and then 6 o'clock on Saturday. We'll have both games on Yes FM. And, of course, you can watch on Flow if you want to do that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Last segment, Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night on ESPN 1400.
Is it time to install new windows, doors, or paneling? Perhaps you're finally going to build that new deck or addition you've been talking about, or repair the roof. Stop at Sue Builder Supply. You'll find helpful advice and quality materials that will make every job easier. Whether you're ready to paint, insulate, install new windows, or kitchen cabinets, the team at Sue Builder Supply will make the task less daunting by coaching you with great how-to tips. When there's a building or remodeling project in store, make your first stop Sue Builder Supply. You'll receive the best building materials and hardware and great project advice every time. Sue Builder Supply, helping you make your building and remodeling projects a reality. On Johnston by the Bridge in Sioux, Michigan.
Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
When you're looking to score great pizza, make your play with your favorite hometown team at Guido's. Well known for their pizza, someone once said,
"You can't live on just pizza."
Something they may not agree with at Guido's. You'll also love their pasta, salads, breads, and of course, their Guidotizers. Make a power play and order online at guidospizzasue.com. And while you're there, look for their college student special coupon and save 15% on one regularly priced menu item. Guido's Pizza, 2673 Ashman. Call 906-635-0066.
It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Witten.
Well, we're not getting many questions tonight. Matt hasn't been very busy over here with the Twitter end of things, but we've got We've got a few more questions to ask Coach Witten here tonight. We've got Minnesota State coming in this weekend. Lakers coming off a sweep at Northern Michigan, the first time in 9 years that they got a double win at the Berry Event Center. And in fact, I was trying to remember the last time we did beat them twice in that building, and I told Matt after the game Saturday, I don't think it was at the Berry Event Center. I thought it was at Lakeview Arena.
But oh, wow.
Pat O'Neill got right on that from Florida and filled me in. So, you know, you can always rely on Pat.
Good old
Pat. He's
got
all that archive stuff down. So
it was Berry, Bill?
It was Berry Event Center in 2011. Two wins back-to-back.
Pat's on it.
I bet Pat remembered that too.
No, I don't.
He didn't even have to look it up.
I think he looked it up. Anyway, we're going to talk about recruiting here in our last segment, and we'll get into that in a second. And that puts the pressure on the coach because he's got to remember all these guys, and he doesn't want to offend any of them. So I'll use names, and then you can just comment on them. But I don't want to really get into that just yet. There's some other stuff we can talk about that has to do with the hockey end of things. I think the Lakers are one of the surprise teams early this season in the WCHA. You were picked to finish sixth by most of the experts and the media and everything. I think sixth in both polls. But, you know, that stuff goes out the window when you start playing. And I think our guys, we've got a group of seven there. If we're going to talk recruiting, you got to replace. And those seven seniors play every hockey game for you. That's a lot to replace, really. If you had three or four of them or weren't playing all the time, and we've had that in the past too, that'd be a different story. But, and you get seven seniors and they're all an integral part of this hockey team.
Well, I like when they're playing, Bill. First and foremost, I'll take that. You know, it's nice when you know, your senior class are go-to guys and experienced and all those things, and you're seeing, you know, why that's important with what we've done, because they've led the way in all those areas. So, you know, that's the way it should be done. I think you know, I was thinking about this earlier. You know, I think development-wise, you know, the assistant coach has done a good job. Certainly, you know, Mike and Zach right now, and the previous coaches as well. Not only, you know, identifying guys who fit what we're doing, but, you know, when they get here, the development, you know, look at Miro Muka, who freshman year, it was, you know, it was frustrating. He wanted to play more, and we liked a lot about what he was doing. We just couldn't get him in behind guys like Diego and Nelly and on down the list. And now he's getting his opportunity. And we're dealing with that right now. You know, we've got this class to replace. We've got guys who are ready to play. You know, Benny Posta can play. Spencer can play. Tyler Williams can play. We've seen bits and pieces of Artie Borshoff and Jeremy Gervais. You know, Mike Manera's taking a big step. So we've got guys here. Our goaltending is in really good hands, you know, with Ethan and Seth. So it's not going to be all recruits that come in and necessarily replace these guys. We have guys waiting in the wings, which I think is, you know, you're a good program when that's the case. And again, a lot of credit to Mike and Zach, not only for, you know, identifying these guys on the road, but the work they do with them day in and day out to not only keep them, you know, hopefully patient and understanding, handling the frustration of not playing, but developing them and having them ready for when their opportunity comes. So I think they deserve a ton of credit for the job they've done, you know, probably along with that Taylor Brown, our strength conditioning coach, and Mike Guggen, our volunteer who does a lot of work with these guys as well. So it won't just be these recruits stepping on campus that have to fill these seven holes that depart. We've got guys that are sitting here, you know, trying to be patient, bide their time, and taking any opportunities they get to develop. So I feel good about that. I think we'll have a lot of guys that, you know, have not gotten enough time, will be ready to really step up their games next year.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think some of these guys who are coming in, we got a couple of recruits who are out of the USHL, a few out of the BC League. And the BC League, I don't know that they're even playing right now.
No,
I don't
not.
Think they are. So, and I saw the other day where one of our recruits moved, Brett Rollison moved from Powell River to Minot in the North American League. Is that correct?
Well, that's what you're finding. And, you know, it's tough. I mean, a lot of disruption across junior hockey. You know, there are certainly teams playing, and then you'll see a pause just like in college or anywhere else. But, you know, it's really hard to find a team right now. Most of the Canadian leagues continue to not operate. So I think nearly every American that was going to go play somewhere in Canada has tried to get a home and come down to the U.S. And now a lot of the Canadian kids who have the ability to get down here are doing that. So yeah, Brett has come down, and, you know, especially for the 20-year-olds, you know, they want to play, they want to compete. I'm not sure you always need to play games to develop, but, you know, these guys are very competitive kids and they want to play games. And that was really important to Brett. And so, yeah, he is now in Minot. I believe his release from Hockey Canada and Powell River is all through. And, you know, he should be inserted the lineup very shortly. Dawson Trent, the same thing. Dawson is, you know, now down in the U.S. as well, and working out a couple of final details for his release through Hockey Canada and his BCHL team. And, you know, I don't think anybody wanted to see it, but the latest news out of BC was a February 5th start date. It's already been pushed probably 3 to 4 times, and so nobody knows. So I think all these guys want a chance to compete and play, and so they've, you know, they found some avenues and opportunities to come down to the U.S. and try to get games in. And I thought the North American League in particular was very wise. They pushed back their finish date so that they can add more games and push playoffs back. And I think that was really attractive to a lot of players to, you know, go out and play the game that they love and they put their whole lives into.
Yeah, it'd be pretty tough for a kid like, let's use Brett Rollison again for an example. You don't play at all this year. You just practice and skate on your own, and then you go try to play Division I college hockey. That's a setback that could put you behind the eight ball your freshman year. You probably would be a lot better off to play a lot of games and come in and have a fighting chance.
And you're exactly right. I mean, that's the way these kids feel. You know, they all, you know, they want to step in and contribute and play. And, you know, if you're not playing games, you know, they're really concerned that that would be challenging to do. And they're not wrong. You know, that competition is important. You know, we don't get to go, you know, or even stream. We can't go on the road with NCAA rules right now. But, you know, you can stream their games. You can watch them. You can get a feel for how they're playing and where they're matching up or stacking up. And so, you know, that's what they've all chosen to do. They want to play. And, to get to this level, you have to love to compete. You have to love that part of it. And they're all, you know, they're struggling without it. So, you know, they've tried to be patient and give their teams a chance. But ultimately, they decided that they wanted to get down here and compete. So I think it's a good decision for them so they can develop and push themselves and keep going. And I think that'll be helpful for their development and for us when they get here.
Yeah, we should mention again, Brett Rollison, his dad, Dwayne Rollison, was a tremendous college hockey goaltender. He played at UMass Lowell. I remember him very well. In 1994, he was a candidate for the Hobie Baker Award. And that's how good a goaltender this guy was. He played for about six different teams in the NHL. He was the Anaheim Ducks goaltending coach. He's back in Canada now, and I'm sure he's retired and living comfortably, but he's got two sons there, Brett and Ross. Ross is younger, and Brett's coming to Lake Superior State next fall.
Yeah, exactly. You know, hockey family, and because it's interesting, you know, getting to know Dwayne through the process a little bit, certainly Brett through the process, you know, Dwayne had a great career, but he also moved around a lot. So, you know, they were always kind of moving to a new city and a new home and doing that. So Brett's kind of used to this lifestyle of picking up and finding a new location and in this case, a new billet and things like that. So, you know, we hope he can quickly settle in and get to work there. It's been, you know, it's really hard on these kids, you know, that to handle this. As we all know, it's hard on everybody, you know, but these athletes who are used to routine and competition and pushing their bodies, you take that away and it's a really challenging time in their life. So I know Brett is really relieved and the other, you know, I'm sure everybody else, but just relieved to have a team and hopefully we'll be in the lineup this weekend. And I know he can't wait for that normalcy back in his life.
Yeah. Again, he's playing in Minot in the North American League. Rollison is a forward. A couple other names I just want to mention quickly because we're running out of time here. Cole Kraft, he's a forward playing for the Lincoln Stars USHL. You got, we already mentioned a couple of other guys. Dawson Tritt was in the BCHL. He's moved down into the States now. He hasn't started playing yet, but he will. Grant Heinemann's a pretty highly regarded defenseman in Youngstown of the USHL. He's coming in next year. You got Jordan Venegoni, I believe is his name, the forward out of Amarillo in the North American League. And then Brian Huggins, we've talked about him before. He's playing in Maryland now, along with Josh Nixon, who's coming in next year. And then we got Sebastian Miedema, the kid out of Sweden who's been trying to find a team in North America that he can play for.
Yeah, well, you know, you hit a lot there, and I know we're running up against the hour here, but no, I mean, it's a group we like. I think we've addressed a lot of holes. You mentioned seven guys departing. It's a pretty large class that's coming through, and as we're seeing, some really critical players in our lineup. So, you know, we will need some of these guys to step in and help out from day one, and at the same time, I think we'll have some really good pieces back that can help their adjustment and show them the ropes a little bit. Obviously, you know, we're going to have to get through the offseason and see what any, you know, potential pro losses are or what this transfer portal is going to look like. But, you know, a lot of really good pieces that you know, we're excited about and, you know, can't wait for them to get to campus.
Yeah, this transfer portal thing now, you can transfer and play right away. And, you know, we've got a former player who transferred out during the summer and he's playing now at UNH. That's going to happen. That sort of thing is going to go on all the time now. The NCAA has really relaxed a lot of rules and, you know, guys who aren't happy or don't get to play a lot, they're going to seek somewhere else to go, I guess. And that's just part of life. That's part of coaching as well at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be. Well, this will be the first year of it. So I think we're all, you know, pins and needles a little bit to see how it works and what it looks like. You know, obviously we've got, Brandon Puricelli and I'm missing somebody right now. I can't think of who else here from the portal, Jack Jeffers.
Yeah, Jack Jeffers.
Logan Genuine. So, you know, we've tapped into it a little bit and, have some familiarity. But with the penalty gone of sitting out a year, it's going to be concerning. You know, you want to hold kids accountable and maximize their potential and you're hard on them because you see potential and you care about them. But, you know, now you're going to, can you do it? You know, are they in the portal the next day or the next month or, you know, next season? So it's going to be an interesting time to see what this looks like and how kids can be patient and maybe ride out, some of the ups and downs and as they adjust in. But, we'll be active in it. I think you have to be. It's a new way to recruit and a new way to handle things. And we're going to have to be on top of our game. If we can use it to get better, then we want to look at that every option to do that. And we also, want to do a great job with our kids here so that they're not wanting to leave and exit, but it's going to be inevitable. You're going to lose some players.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And yet you try to make them happy. I think this is a good crew for keeping the teammates together. And that won't be the reason. It'll be ice time and lack thereof that would cause somebody to pull the plug. But Damon, we're out of time. Thanks for doing this. It worked out well. We've got another good show in the hopper here to podcast. You can listen for that this coming week. Matt, great job again, and thanks for filling in this past weekend. You did a really good job at Northern Michigan. It's always, and Matt and I will be on the air together this Friday and Saturday night when Minnesota State comes into town.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be a big weekend, Minnesota State here. And hey, the 15th is what, Thursday? Could be that the governor will relax the rules and we might have some fans in the building on Friday night. That'd be wonderful.
Well, that'd be great to get that back. We really miss our fans and excited for a big weekend of hockey here at Taffy Able. So appreciate everybody tuning in and have a great night.
All righty. That's another Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie Sports Leader. Now let's get back to regular programming.